Would you call the roll, please?
Ms. Marin.
Present.
Mr. Hamilton.
Present.
Ms. Mackey Ross.
Present.
Mr. Chilton.
Here.
Ms. Leach.
Here.
And Ms. Jacobson and Mr. Clark are absent.
Okay, the first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes of the March 19, 2018 meeting. Are there any comments or questions or objections to the minutes? Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes as written?
I make a motion that we approve the last month's meeting's minutes as written.
Second?
I can second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Passes unanimously. Our next item of business, file number HPC 1803 at 721 Kingsley Avenue. Mr. Stanislaw, would you like to introduce that, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This item, as Ms. Marin indicated, HP 18-03, is the Lewis Center at 721 Kingsland Avenue. The applicant is the Lawrence Group. The property owner, I have a correction on that, is the Lewis Center ML LLC, and I will correct that on other documentation. And the request this evening is for a design review for conformance with district standards. This property is located in the University City Civic Complex Local Historic District, and this is for the proposed phase one of the Lewis Center redevelopment project. Here we have a general location map of the property. The subject property is bounded by this yellow dashed line. Doing some investigation with the applicant, realized that the county parcel is drawn incorrectly on the northern end. This parking lot is all within the boundaries, and there's a survey in your agenda packets that show that property boundary as well, just to clarify that. To the east, we have some multifamily residential in the Parkview Gardens neighborhood on the other side of Kingsland. We have the Delmar Harvard building to the south. We have the Trinity building and the City Hall complex down here southwest. And to the west, we have single-family residential being the University Heights number one subdivision.
Andrew,
yes.
Could you go back to the previous slide?
Yes.
That is not Cornell Avenue, that's Harvard.
Yeah, that's Harvard.
Okay.
If we could get that.
I apologize for that, yeah. So here we have the local historic district boundaries. We can see it's on the northern end of that district north of Delmar, of the library and Delmar Harvard building. These are some images we have. This is a view looking north towards the early child care center of the parking lot area. This is a view west from Kingsland Avenue. So this is the side of the building facing Kingsland. And you can see some of the existing signage there that's proposed to be changed as part of this project. This is a view east from the existing parking lot at the Lewis Center. This is the view north from the temporary police department parking area. And this is from that same location looking northeast. This is the what's known as the Ward Building, which is the most historically significant portion called out in the zoning ordinance. So these slides, I will let the applicant speak to. There's a few other notes I wanted to mention. As I mentioned, this is in the Civic Complex, local historic district, and we have the zoning code ordinance outlining the standards and regulations for that district. The Ward Building portion is specifically called out, and that building itself is not part of this phase of the development, but a future phase. This is the northern part of the building and the ordinance. And the Landmarks Handbook, I can't remember what year that was distributed in, but it points out the difference between the northern portion and the southern portion being the Ward Building. This property is in the HRO, High Density Residential Office District, which permits non-residential and residential uses. And all zoning code requirements will be reviewed for compliance upon the submission of a building permit for the project. And with that, I would like to hand it over to the applicant to provide a description.
Good evening. I'm actually Tim Robano, principal of the Lawrence Group. Mr. Trost is timeless now. Just to elaborate a little bit on the great overview that Andrew provided, the phase one site development plan and selective building renovation will address some of the following highlight areas. ADA accessible provisions via ramps and sidewalks to the north side of the building, and a modification of the curb cut to allow for accessible routes to the site from Kingsland Avenue. There is currently only one entrance to the site from Kingsland, vehicular. In the former north loading dock on the north side, which is comprised of the loading dock, trash dumpsters, electrical service, that those areas will be relocated and that will be transformed into a new building entrance from the north side. The parking lot will be mitigated through the use of fiber retention design in accordance with MSD standards and regulations, improving the overall fiber retention on the site. And the new exterior building work includes the restoration of the brick masonry, restoration of the original wood windows on the Kingsland facade, historic replica aluminum windows on the other facades, and replacement of the roof and some new doors in the existing masonry openings. The new interior building work includes the renovation of what is currently the existing residential units in the Kingsland wing and the existing residential units that are occupying the theater. The former gymnasium will be renovated as commercial office space. The project has been submitted to both the State Historic Preservation Office and the National Park Service for both state and federal historic tax credits, and the applications have been approved, including four amendments that were submitted and approved, and a fifth amendment that has been approved by SHPO and is currently at the National Park Service. On slide one, here we can see the proposed renovation of the parking lot to the north. This represents the service parking lot, the Kingsland wing, as we refer to it, the theater wing, the former gymnasium, and then what we refer to in the application as the main courtyard. That's this internal space here. The site plan improvements include new ADA accessible sidewalks from Kingsland Avenue to the north entrance. That will also be enhanced by new site lighting, both in the parking lot as well as along the entryway. The bioretention area in the parking lot will be upgraded for MSD guidelines. And then we're planning to relocate the Ameren UE transformer that is currently located right at the main entrance.
Where are you going to move it to?
That ends up. At the next line here. So this is an aerial rendering of the proposed north entrance. You'll note the new accessible sidewalk into the site. You also note we're proposing an element that is to be sort of a continuity signage element that starts out at the Kingsland and leads you into the site. This element is under kind of review right now in terms of materiality, and that is something that we would be submitting samples and additional material to Andrew as the project develops.
Do you have a sense at all of what the material is? Or can you comment at all?
Yeah, I can. Actually, we have some of our consulting team here. Mm-hmm. So I have Sue Weiss with DTLS, who is our landscape designer. Might have let her address that.
Could you speak into the microphone, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Sorry, I have a soft voice. The wall and the signage that we're looking at is, we're thinking it's going to be metal. The color right now is under consideration with the client, and we're trying to determine what that what we really want to present forward.
And my question is, when you say the signage is metal, you're talking about all of the red areas on that?
Correct. Everything that you see there would be metal.
Okay.
And it also acts as a retaining wall to retain some of the soil.
Is that going to be lit or non-lit, still signing or lit?
The signage is not lit in the sign itself, but it will have engraved up lights, what we're proposing right now, raising lights.
So, concerning the colors, so you're not proposing red at this point, even though that's what we're seeing, but would it be, do you know if the color would be muted as compared to bright?
I think the direction that we're leaning towards is trying to tone it down a little bit.
Okay.
Myrtle and maroon. That's the school colors, technically.
Right.
And myrtle would be toned down compared to this. I mean, maroon would be toned down compared to this.
Right.
Thank you. I'm sorry, thank you. Can I ask if you have an aerial view or a rendering of the transformer location site and the appearance of that as opposed to the house next to it?
I do not have that at this time. That is something that we could talk about in terms of the landscape plan.
We're going to need that.
I'd be very interested in seeing that before we take any action.
Sure.
Okay, if you'd like to continue.
So this slide depicts the proposed construction, and we've placed the existing views so that you can have context. Really what we're trying to accomplish here is to utilize existing masonry openings and replace existing transoms that have been filled in over the years and over time and remove walls that were not original to the original construction. So this will be a new entry plaza. The manipulation of the north elevation will allow for accessibility from the parking lot, which currently the building does not have. So that will be a new and improved accessibility feature. And then this view depicts the curb cuts and the stone wall modifications from the Kingsland entrance, which again is the only entrance to the site. We would note that at the existing location, the wall runs all the length of Kingsland steps right here, and there's no existing fence on this portion of the wall. And so we're proposing no modifications to that fence line. So from a historic viewpoint, the fence remains intact in the place that it currently exists. So moving into the interior courtyard, this is a space that currently exists. It is currently underutilized. It's been in place since McCormick Barron renovated the building in the mid-80s, so it's proposed for complete transformation and renovation with new landscaping and pavers. You will also note that we are proposing on top of the old boiler room a spiral stair connection that connects the inside to the outside of the building, and this space is inside the community kitchen that will serve that commercial space that is proposed for the gymnasium. First floor plan, again, we are really talking about this piece of the project, the north wing, which is, again, the Kingsland wing, the theater, and the gymnasium. The intent of the gymnasium is to leave that space open with a reconfiguration of the mezzanine that is already existing place there. There's a total of 43 residential units, and this is the community kitchen that we talked about on the previous slide. Level two, the former theater, we are proposing loft units to maximize the large windows contained on one unit. The previous residential units actually bisected the large windows, So you never really had that view from either the interior or the exterior of the building. And the second floor also has proposed live-work units due to the proximity of the commercial office space. The existing elevator floor will remain in place and simply be refurbished to be ADA accessible via the ramp connection of the entrance, as well as over to the future phase two of the south wing. And on the third floor, this again depicts the gymnasium is out of the equation here, so we have residential units in the Kingsland wing, and we have residential lofts, four residential lofts between the building trusses with proposed skylights on the south side of the slope of the roof to provide natural light into those units. And we have reviewed that with University City Plan Examiners, and the floor does provide two means of egress.
So right now, there's nothing there?
So right now, when the renovation, the previous renovation occurred in the 1980s, a series of floors were introduced in that wing, and the ceiling was taken out of that theater space, and so we're reconfiguring those residential units and reconstructing them.
Okay.
But no increase in elevation of the building?
Correct. Everything is within the
envelope.
And we included the roof view so that you can see the potential skylight locations. Again, non-primary facade. It's on the south circuit roof down to the courtyard.
I do have one question, though. I noticed that the residences on the third floor that face Kingsland, the only way to get there is you have to go through the proposed second addition, because you have to come out of that elevator and walk across that and up, unless there's another way. Are those going to be useful right away, or are you going to come back with the plan for the second addition shortly?
Will these be used right away? Is that the question?
Well, are they going to be used right away, or are they just going to be used when the proposed second addition comes
along? No, they will. What we depict here in the south,
yes,
is the current condition, so these will be brought online.
Okay.
In phase one. This network of connections currently exists.
Mm-hmm. So that's fine. Okay.
And then we also provided, as Andrew noted, this is the survey that was taken in 2014 by Ian Kamon. It is certified by Chris Barante, Missouri Registered Land Surveyor, and actually, just this morning, we did go down to the county and confirmed in the black book that somehow there was something that didn't get translated into the GIS system. And so St. Louis County is going to correct that line that was shown about here.
Oh, good.
It is all one parcel. Mm-hmm.
So what we're looking at is correct? Survey?
Yes, this is the correct survey. St. Louis County GIS has it incorrect. And in fact, we went back to the plat books when they were still hand-drawn, and what happened was that the parcel got converted and added into this parcel that was never transferred in the county. But the surveyor has confirmed it's all one parcel. Mm-hmm. And then, Sue, do you want to maybe address just a little bit on the landscape?
So we are reconfiguring slightly the entrance of the parking lot in order to align. Right now, it currently jogs somewhat. We will also have a lie-by area next to the accessible sidewalk for short-term deliveries. We also have, this is the main plaza area where you can actually walk up steps to here or come around here. and have accessible walkway. It's not necessarily a ramp, it's just a walkway to come to the main door. This area will be pavers, and all everything else is basically standard city concrete. We will have accessible parking right here next to the closest proximity to the front door, as also bike parking. The parking spaces will be pervious pavers to help with runoff and mitigate the runoff.
Can I just add, I'm sorry, is the, so in the far left, yes, the two circles on the top of the graph, those are pavers as well. What is that area right there? The at the west corner of the
right there.
What is that?
Those are additional parking spaces, and that would probably, that would happen in phase two. When we need to add more spaces due to requirements, parking requirements for the amount of units that are in the building.
Units or office space?
Both.
Yeah, with the HRO, it's tied in both in terms of the residential and the office, the number of units and the total square footage.
And how many parking spaces are you anticipating those pavers will be? And how many in the second phase?
The second phase there will be.
Oh, yeah, it's not the same. But then it's not in this
part.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Oh, that would be just that location.
So there would be no additional parking in that location in phase two?
No. What you see here would be phase one and phase two combined.
When are you proposing phase two? Do you have a guesstimate on that?
So the goal right now is for phase one to begin sometime this summer and be complete sometime in the summer of 2019. And so we would anticipate coming back with phase two, coming back for phase two approval sometime probably between quarter one and quarter two of 2019.
This is existing.
So is there any design developed for the rain garden? Is there any kind of description at all to it other than...
The garden in the parking lot?
Yes.
Or the garden internal?
At the parking lot.
Stay up here. The rain garden within the parking lot will meet MSD requirements. The plantings will be native plants, but we're looking at more of a non-woolly type native plant treatment to help with, make it look nice. We don't have the exact plants picked out right now.
So you're going to be coming back with those when you come back with maybe your signage,
yes,
samples and stuff like that?
And your transformer location.
Yes.
Is there any way you can bring a copy of your pavers along with your signage? So we can, since they're close to each other.
Yes.
Yeah, just bring the sample.
So it really helps conditionally have these things in front of us.
Sure.
So it appears you're looking for this.
But I think what we can do is put it all up and stuff like that.
That's right. So if we don't do that, it has to be a condition. So there is a modification of an existing curb cut from Kingsland. So exactly where is the curb cut that you're referring to? I just think of that as a simple curb cut you'd see on the corner of an intersection.
Yes, it is what we'd like to do, though, is make sure it's accessible for people to actually go across.
Crossing Kingsland or crossing the drive?
Crossing the drive.
The sidewalk line across the drive.
Oh, okay, so we have two curb cuts, each flanking the drive. Is that
right?
Well,
I'm trying to explain it. So there's a sidewalk line across the drive. Okay, so we have one curb cut that's vehicular that goes into the site.
Okay.
And then we will have we will be modifying the curb ramps on either side of that drive.
I see. Okay.
So
right, I was now, actually thinking of curbs ramps rather. So
this is it's all vehicular. So by shifting the curb, the actual cut to the north, we're able to create the accessible pedestrian entrance here. And then we also are able to have the accessibility across the drive.
And while you have your pictures up, item number 7, trash enclosure, will be relocated and screened in the north parking lot. Where are you going to put the trash enclosure? Is there a way you can point to?
Trash enclosure would be right here.
Oh, okay.
Right in these spaces.
Okay,
I see it.
And
it's just a three-sided wall.
Three-sided wall with gates.
What will it look like? Since you said walls.
Right now we're proposing metal walls.
Is that going to be like maybe matching the signage? Is
no, it
might
be black or like a dark color.
I see. When you come back, will you have a list of not only the trees and the plants?
Yes, we'll have that.
Photograph would be good.
So there is an existing sidewalk and entry steps just immediately south of the new walk. In fact, I think it's a dark horizontal line. In the lower right-hand corner? Right there,
right,
exactly.
Right now there's steps currently that are here that will be remain. There's a gate there, but we want to maintain access. So we're looking at a chat path or a fine gravel path to maintain access.
So the entry steps right there are gated. Is that
right?
Yes,
they are.
And locked? You're saying it's going to be used. It's kind of a redundant path, which is okay, but I just wanted to...
It's existing currently.
Yes.
Assuming we're going to have car access.
Well, it's the fence line along Kingsland has those gates existing, so
okay.
There's no intention to alter that that existing fence structure at all.
Okay, and they're unlocked gates.
Unlocked.
I believe they're currently locked, and we're evaluating our security program. So
we're basically just keeping them for historical purposes.
Yes.
We're not. It's not an active entry.
It is not an active entry. It's,
okay.
I don't know if there ever was an active entry.
Thank you.
Okay, so concerning the fence, fence provides security. It connects all the way to the building. In other words, you can't go from Kingsland across to the lawn, the east lawn of the center. Is that right?
That fence does go all the way to the building.
Okay.
In its current state.
Right.
Well, so that's kind of the gate to what I'm going to call the north of Kingsland on that. If you go further down, you've got another short pass that goes in more or less into the middle of the east elevation. Are you going to do the same thing there, or is that going to be more of an active use? Okay.
It's egress.
Egress. Okay, egress only. Okay.
Are there any other questions or comments from the commissioners?
Yeah. Well, I just want to say the accessible path that you provided is a smash hit. It's very well done. It's hidden within the design. You don't see a wheelchair ramp, let's say.
Correct.
So I'm happy about that.
Oh, great.
Do you ever envision this eastern facade to be more like a garden in the future, since you're not going to have access to those two areas?
I don't know that that is really a common thing.
That's fine.
Anything else? I think that the commissioners have some reservations about some things on the plan. And that we'd like to revisit before approving anything. One is the transformer. The other is the trash area. We're concerned about how that looks. The pavers, the metal signage, and for lack of a better word, sort of perimeter.
In the plantings and the trees.
And the plantings.
We need to have verification of both.
So, Andrew, I know this requires a vote. Can we postpone our vote until we get to review these things?
Yes, you're able to do so. And then I will follow up with the applicant.
I mean, I think your basic design, I don't think any of us have problems with that. We're just a little bit concerned about some of the aesthetics of the materials you're using and the location of certain things that really probably need to remain hidden, like trash dumpsters and transformers. So I think what we're going to do is put off our vote tonight. And if you could, I know you want to get started on this project. If, you know, we could see you, I guess, next. Yeah, we meet once a month. I'm hoping, like I said, I think we're all pretty pleased with the design overall and have no problems with that. However, the things that I mentioned were a little troubling to some of our commissioners. Okay? So we're going to postpone a vote on this tonight, and we'll revisit it next month. And if you could bring samples of your materials, and kind of come up with the type of color in that you know you want for the signage, it would be very helpful.
And since the transformer is standing alone, I think we need a lot more information, the color, the size, the description, because now that's in a location which could be visible from maybe the residential neighbor right to the west of it. And also, it's in a corner that could be viewed from the front entry as you're going into that, because where you're placing it. I know there's a tree, you've drawn a tree there in a bush, but wintertime comes about and the transformer's going to be there. Okay?
Could you speak into the microphone?
Thank
sure.
you. And introduce yourself, please.
My name is Steve Condren. I'm Assistant Vice Chancellor for Real Estate at Washington University, working as part of the development team on this project. One thing that we didn't highlight that I know is of interest to us and assuming to our neighbors, one of the things that's worked really well on the existing site is there's a pretty good vegetation along the property line currently the west side of the north parking lot that provides a buffer between our property and theirs. And there's an opportunity to provide a bit more buffer along the property line to the north, just west of the parking lot, where we can get our kitchen to another single-family homeowner. As we bring the landscape plan forward, that please be assured that's part of our thinking, that how to best shield the single-family homes from the site going forward.
In all seasons.
In all seasons,
yes.
Exactly. Thank
Since you.
You
only talked about plantings, has there ever been any discussion about any fencing that would be owned by you versus the residential residents?
I believe there is currently fencing buried behind the
But I'm saying any additional fencing. Are you going to put up a fence, like a fence besides a fence?
In the area I just spoke of, along the single families, I believe there is adequate fencing currently that we would look to maintain. Mm-hmm. But I think that doesn't address how to shield.
Correct.
With the vegetation that we put in place.
I understand.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. So the next item of business is our citizenry comment. And what I'm going to do is address those who would like to speak on this plan first. I have a couple of topics here. So, Mark Harvey, could you come to the podium, please? Please give your full name and address. And,
Mark Harvey, 761 Harvard, and I am a trustee of University Heights Subdivision Number 1. We have been in contact already with Mr. Condren. We've scheduled a meeting, or we're close to getting a meeting scheduled. So they are reaching out to us to have conversation. We will have some concerns. We are not sure that they know they are subject to our indenture. Part of this building, not all of it, is in our subdivision. So we'll have to be looking at that with any renovation to make sure that they're consistent with our indenture. We've had some issues in the last couple of years in terms of surrounding properties adjacent around those issues. So we'll be looking at that with them and hopefully won't have any problems that we can't work out. But we're glad that you're not voting tonight, because we would love to make sure you get that input before you make a decision. And I'm sure they would feel the same. So we look forward to having that conversation with them.
Will you be copying us on your report?
Excuse me?
Will you be copying our commission on the findings?
We can certainly do that.
That would be a good idea.
Could you please send those to Mr. Stanislaw, please?
All right.
And he'll be glad to distribute them to the commissioners.
Mark, I think it would be important for you to have that meeting and get those to us prior to the vote.
We think that's going to happen this coming Thursday morning. So looks like that's coming today. And the other thing that we'll be talking about with them is a public hearing, because we do have here tonight neighbors who are adjacent to this property. By city code, as I read it, they have to reach out by law to at least the neighbors, the 10 closest neighbors to the development. We will work with them to schedule a hearing that would include those and many others. So we have a neighborhood that's very responsive to these kinds of things. We think we'll probably have good attendance for a good public hearing and some good solid input to the plan. But I think all in all, we're in favor of redevelopment of the historic buildings. I'm very encouraged to see that they plan to do very little change to the historic nature of the building, and even be here tonight, that they're going to be restoring some of the original features of the building, and we certainly applaud that.
Thank you, Mr. Hardy. Barb, Chicharillo, and you don't have a topic here. Would you like to speak to this subject or another?
A question.
Okay. Oh, come to the podium, please. Give your full name and address.
I'm Barb Chicharillo. I live at 720 Harvard. So my property backs up to the current parking lot. So I had a couple questions. One, about the lighting in the parking lot, because we have a sleeping screen and sleeping porch, and I sleep out there all summer long. and I'm always fighting light. So I was curious about what kind of lighting was going to be in the lot at night. And then we also had a question about the existing fencing that runs along Trinity and Harvard. There's kind of a grassy knoll there, and we're wondering if that was going to remain the same and if we would have access through that fencing, because we take our bicycles through. So just a couple questions, but I think I'm most concerned about the lighting and the transformer, because I think that might be like in Bart's backyard. And the other question about the transformer was the amount of noise it makes.
One thing that I think the applicant should add to their list, then, it would really help the commissioners if you could come up with like some drawings or some examples of the lighting, and give us some specs on the lighting so that we can reassure the neighbors that, you know, they're not going to be spotlit at night. Thank you.
I think she has a good point about the security and being able to walk from their neighbor through this if they're used to that. And Cynthia just mentioned that they're going to be fencing, and they really didn't talk very much about the snow, but could they talk a little bit more about the what I call the western grassy knoll that walks back up to Harvard.
Does anyone want to address that tonight?
It's certainly part of the second phase of the work.
Sure.
This is not the first comment we've heard about keeping access open. So
well, I'm just addressing it. Address it sooner than later.
Yeah, no, and we don't expect maybe a substantive change to how that access is controlled.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Are there any more comments or questions from citizens? Okay, so we don't have a council member here tonight, so there's no council liaison report. The update from the staff, Mr. Stanislaw?
I have two things prior to the staff update. The one thing I just wanted to mention, that we do have lighting and noise performance standards in our zoning code, so we will also be reviewing that as well, just to let you know. So we also have, for you, we put it under other business. We received it a few days ago, but we wanted to get this to you. We received a sign permit application for the 560 garage, also in the U-City Civic Complex Historic District. We've reviewed it and determined that it meets the zoning code criteria, and we're providing it to you informationally. And if you have any comments, if you would like to address those to me, I can get those back to the applicant as well. So maybe on your way out, I can make sure you guys get those.
Thank you.
So the department report, we don't have a very large report. One thing I wanted to mentioned for HBC members not present last time, and Ms. Mackie Ross, welcome. We have these folders with training materials for our Historic Preservation Commission, and I can explain this to you at a later time as well. And we have a acknowledgement sheet that we can keep on file, for our 4-year reviews with the SHPO and our annual reports. So we have documents of that. I have one note from City Council that they wanted me to note on their way out, that before HPC at an upcoming meeting, the demolition of the tea house will be presented to you all, and they wanted to note, looking specifically at the significance of the architect and architecture, and they just wanted you to know that that will be forthcoming. That being said, the last thing I would like to say, I just wanted to announce that this will be my last Historic Preservation Commission meeting, unfortunately. I just wanted to thank you all for the past year, and I enjoyed working with you all, and I will definitely miss you, City, but I'm sure we're all on to bigger and better things. So I just wanted to say thank you, and I appreciate all of your help and support.
Well, we'd like to thank you for all of your hard work as well, and we will miss you. You've done a very good job with us.
Thank you very much.
Any other business?
I would like to bring back an issue that I raised a year ago that we should be considering additional landmarks and historic district designations in University City. We have, considering that this commission is 30 years old, we have a very small portfolio of buildings compared to what I think most of us would think are the buildings we're saving in University City. And so I don't want to necessarily say we have to meet every month, but I think whenever we meet, we should allow a few minutes to discuss that. And also, a previous commission did publish a book, I think it's called Landmarks and Historic Places of University City. It was written by Judy Little. Yeah. And we possibly need to reprint that. And I believe we could apply for a CLG grant from the state to help with that if necessary. But that would provide a starting point for us to consider further designations. Of course, it's difficult. It's a long process, but we have to start someplace.
Right. Would you consider, study sessions, would that be within the Sunshine Law? I mean, if the commissioners got together just to discuss the issues that Mr. Hamilton is speaking to?
Yeah, I believe if it's fewer than four members, it does not need to be publicly notified. But before we decide anything on that, I would like to confirm that and let you
all
know.
Please do. Sure. Because that could be an option for the commission, and we wouldn't object to having a report. We want to keep all of this above board.
Right.
But I think that if the commissioners met together just to discuss the mechanics of this, how to put it together, what kind of paths we can take, designed to the future, I think that would be helpful.
Andrew, in the past, we've had some publications, I'm talking about offsetting the printing costs. Some of the businesses in the loop have wanted to be better off the terms, maybe sort of like a sponsor or anyway, to offset the cost of printing for that historic preservation booklet.
Okay.
Oh, that would be great.
So they just get an ad on the back. We just use the back of the cover, 8.5 by 11, and it's divided up in ads, and they can, whatever they pay, also could possibly pay for the whole printing. I don't know how much it's going to be.
Any other business discussion? Okay, then the meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for attending. Thank you for your presentation. Thank you.